end, as is our tradition, and then Simon will be speaking to us.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O God.
One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him." And suppose the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet, because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks received, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you very much indeed, Ade. Should we just bow our heads in prayer before I speak? Lord, as we come before you and listen to your teaching on prayer, we pray that you will be with us to bless us, encourage us, and strengthen us in your name. Amen. So good morning. Today we're starting what in fact is quite a good length series. We're going to be looking in some detail at the Lord's Prayer, the prayer, as we say, that Jesus taught us. Now, we'll be touching on some aspects of the detail of that prayer this morning, but we wanted to start by our series by standing back and asking ourselves the bigger question, which is, what is prayer? When I was working in the law before I retired, people would often bring me a really detailed problem, and they'd already worked out very detailed answers to the problem that they may have written down. And they would come to me and say, "Look, we've got the problem, we've got the answers, can you just tick it off? You're the lawyer, you know, we just need clearance." And I'd say, "Well, hold on a second. Turn the problem over, turn your detailed answers over, and let's stand back and first ask ourselves what it is we want to achieve, where we want to get to." And it's a bit like that. All I'm saying really is that it's often helpful to stand back and look at the bigger picture before you go into the details. So that's what we're going to do with prayer today. And standing back, it seems to me that prayer, in the broad experience of Christians across the generations, is at the very least about talking to God. It's about speaking to God. It's about listening to God. And it's also about being with God, talking to God, listening to God, and sometimes just being with God. Now, you may be better at one or more of those than you are at the others. In the past, for myself, I've been pretty bad at keeping still and pretty bad at listening. So I probably spent far too much time in my life when I've been praying, talking to God, when I could have been listening or being still. Your experience may well be very different. But before we come to each one of those three, talking, listening, and being with God, I think it's worth recalling an important point that's behind all of that. And the point is to do with who God is and what God is like. Because whether we're talking or listening or just being, we are talking to, listening, or spending time with a person. Not just nature. Not just a life force or an idea or concept like goodness or beauty, good as all of those things and all of those thoughts can be, but a person who wants to listen to us speaking, a person who loves to speak to us, and a person who enjoys being with us. So we can definitely say, I think, that the starting point is that prayer is part of a living relationship with a personal God. And talking to a person, of course, is why Jesus himself could say as his very first words in his teaching on prayer, Father, or in the slightly longer version, Our Father in heaven. Isn't it remarkable, don't you think, that the all-powerful creator, that's the idea of God, the all-powerful creator of all things, the one who knows every hair on our heads, he used to know all the hair on mine, but a lot of it's gone, but anyway, and above everything else, he knows about all of creation, over all of endless time. He was the Alpha, at the beginning of all things. This is the God who will be there at the end of all things. That somebody as great as that is a person who wants to speak to each one of us, wants each one of us to listen to him, and wants to be and spend time with each one of us. But it does seem to be very much that that is what we are told and that is what we are shown. So turning first to talking to God, speaking to God. Well, when we're talking to someone, we can tell them something. We can tell them how much we think of them. When we're talking to God, telling God what we think of him is what we sometimes call worship. So we can tell them something. We can explain something to somebody else. We can thank them for something. We can ask them something or ask them for something. Or we can plead with them to do something. And you can probably think of other examples of types of things we might talk or speak to another person about. Now, with a friend or any other human, of course, you have to choose your words carefully, don't you? You have to use a language or accent that they will best understand. And you have to speak pretty clearly, unless, of course, you know them really well. But with God, who always knows and always understands us exactly as we are, we don't need to worry too much about the clarity of our language, the amount of words we use, and so on. We do not have to say a lot, and we do not, this is really important, we do not need to be good at speaking. In Matthew's account of the giving of the Lord's Prayer by Jesus in chapter 6 of that gospel, Jesus actually says, when you pray, don't keep going on and on using lots of words like people who think they'll be heard because of their many words. He says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And that applies to everyone. God knows what your needs are. So you don't need to worry about exactly how good or not you think you are at speaking. He loves you just as you are. So just speak to him from your heart. But do speak to him. When we're talking or speaking to God, of course, that can be in words said out loud, as we often do in church, or they can be words spoken in our hearts that only we know with God, as it were, in that private relationship. And talking to God can be done in private. Jesus actually encourages that, you may remember. Or it can be done in small groups or in a larger group in the body of the church. And talking to God in prayer can be words spoken, or it can be words sung. One of my favorite moments of any service here in this parish is when we sing together the Lord's Prayer to that wonderful tune and are praying together, singing in harmony, often from deep down inside, fills the church as we shout out in prayer, yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory. And then finally, prayer may even, if you've ever experienced this gift, it may be in a language that may or may not use words or sounds that you would normally use. Now, I've only very limited personal experience of this. It's what the New Testament calls praying in tongues. But my limited understanding is that when, from deep in your soul, from the depths of your being, you call out to God in worship or in prayer, there are times when normal words may just feel inadequate. They're not enough. So the Holy Spirit gives you words to speak. You just have to open your mouth and speak what you are given. That's my limited understanding. Now, turning from speaking to listening, what about listening to God? And there are many biblical references to listening to God in the Old and the New Testaments. I'll just pick one from the Old Testament and one from the New. In the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel 3, verse 10, do you remember the young Samuel? He's in the temple with the elderly Eli. And he hears a voice calling his name. And he replies, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And then from the New Testament, John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep are listening to me." Now, clearly, there are all kinds of ways in which God speaks to us when we listen. One is through the Bible, another through creation, another through the words and example of others. God speaks to us as we see other people, as it were, living out their faith. Another must be, mustn't it, through our consciences. But one must surely be when we pray about a particular situation and we listen out for what God might be telling us. What do you want me to do next, Lord? Or what do you want me to do in this situation? Guide me so that it becomes clear, or perhaps becomes clearer. And you can ask yourself then, as you bring the situation to God in prayer, what is God saying to me? What might be the right thing to do? And just occasionally, you may even hear God's voice, potentially even out loud, as it seems Samuel did in the temple in the Old Testament, more likely perhaps on the inside. Now, if you do, if you feel you hear God speaking carefully to you, be careful. Test the goodness of what you think you may be hearing from God, but don't be surprised if occasionally over your lifetime you think you do hear God actually speaking to you. I've got very limited experience of that, but if you want to hear afterwards the service over a coffee, I can tell you the one or two times in my life when I actually thought I heard God speaking, and it made sense because what I heard being said was what I probably needed to hear at that time. And then thirdly, what about just being with God? There are some familiar words in Psalm 46, verse 10, and they encourage us to be still and know that I am God. And sometimes prayer can be just about being still, about quiet contemplation, being in God's presence and simply knowing that we have that relationship with our loving Heavenly Father. It's, in a sense, it's where love is given and received in simple silence. We went on a long bike ride in the parish this year, what we call the Whoosh Ride, and we finished on a small Scottish island of Iona, very near to a very active Christian community in the Abbey there. And I remember some years ago being told that the members of that community see their work in the Abbey as a form of prayer. It's not necessarily talking or listening or just simply being with God, but in their daily work and their acts of service in the community, they feel that that's part of their prayer, part of their offering of themselves to God. And that's an impressive place if ever you get a chance to visit. Just being with God in your daily life can itself take different forms. We looked recently, didn't we, in our Sunday services at a book by somebody called John Mark Comer called Practicing the Way. And we noted its clear encouragement to modern-day Christians to practice being with Jesus as well as acting out our faith in what we do in our lives. So I think we do know from our own experience, from the experience of Christians over the generations, and just because it makes sense, that prayer in a relationship with our loving Heavenly Father can include at least talking to him, listening to him, and sometimes just being with him. And all these types of prayer can be practiced not just in church or in church groups, but on our own, not just when we're in a quiet place or room, wherever we are. We might be sitting on our favorite chair, we might be sitting on our bike cycling to work, we might be sitting on the bus or the tube or walking in the park or working in the kitchen, we might be in the middle of the school day or working day, we might be in prison, we might be free to go where we please. And the reason is because the God who we pray to and listen to and spend time with is not limited to one place or another, but is always available to hear us, always listening, always there to be with us, whether we sense his presence at a particular time or not. And those, so far, if you like, are a few thoughts that occurred to me when I turned over the Lord's Prayer and tried to stand back for a moment from the detail and ask myself, what is prayer? And now for a few moments, I'm going to turn briefly to our reading for today. And it's very interesting to note first that Jesus' teaching to his disciples on prayer comes immediately, at least in Luke's account, after Jesus himself has been praying. The Gospels are full of accounts of times when Jesus goes off himself to pray to God his Father. Jesus himself sets us a good example of a life in which prayer plays a large part. And when Jesus comes back to the disciples, when he's finished praying, it's as if the disciples are thinking to themselves, well, we know how we usually pray. We go to the synagogue or the temple or wherever, but John the Baptist told his disciples how to pray, so can't we wonder how Jesus is doing it when he goes off on his own? So they ask him to teach them, and he gives them the Lord's Prayer. He certainly doesn't say to them, just go away somewhere quiet and spend time simply being with God. And he doesn't tell them just to go away and listen to what God might be saying to them. He actually encourages them, if you go back to those three elements of talking, listening, and being with God, he encourages them to talk, to speak to God, and he gives them words to speak, words to say. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, and so on. And then immediately after he's given them the words of what we call the Lord's Prayer, Jesus tells them in the story of the man who doesn't give up but keeps knocking on his friend's door at midnight because he urgently needs bread to feed his visitor, not just to talk by asking, but to keep on talking by asking, almost to plead with God for answers. Keep on knocking. But in that talking, in those words that were given in the Lord's Prayer, surely there must also be listening. Your kingdom come, we say. But then we listen for what God might be telling us that his kingdom to come might mean in our home, might mean in our city, might mean in our world today. So we're listening out for what God's telling us in our hearts, our souls, and our consciences. He means, or he wants to communicate and us to hear, is meant by your kingdom come in that particular prayer. Forgive us our sins, we might say, but then surely we listen as God brings to our minds where we need forgiveness today and reminds us also to think of who we need to forgive today. And then perhaps when we use the Lord's Prayer, we also spend time just being with God and accepting his forgiveness, his new life for today, accepting and receiving the strength and the determination to do what we can in following him in the week ahead. So I do think all the three elements are there in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus encourages us and gives us words to speak, but I also think that the other elements are there of listening to God and being with God. Does this then mean that we always must speak and not just sometimes listen or be still? Does it mean that when we speak, we must always use these words of the Lord's Prayer? No, I don't think so. I don't think either of those is true. There will be times when we just need to listen. There will be times when we just need to be still. And I also really don't think that when we speak, we always have to use these Lord's Prayer words. But what they do give us, I think, is a wonderful example of things that God certainly is concerned about when we do talk to him and when we do pray. And they're a wonderful example of things that he wants us to think about. They come, don't they, after all, directly from Jesus' mouth. The Son of God teaches us to pray in that way. And they're also, the words of the Lord's Prayer, a great prayer to fall back on when we don't really know what to say. I can remember now thinking when I was about 19 that I wanted to pray. I wanted to start praying. I had no real idea what to say, but I could remember the Lord's Prayer from school and from church when I was younger, and that got me started. It gave me something really good to start with or to fall back on. And now just two more sets of thoughts to finish. If God knows what we need before we say anything, why then do we need to pray? Well, for me, it's because we are constantly putting ourselves back into that relationship with God, and we are growing and recovering and growing again and recovering again. We're learning, we're looking for guidance, we're looking for inspiration, we're looking for forgiveness. God may already know what we need, but us spending time talking and listening and being with him helps us to grow. If Jesus, above all people, needed to pray, then I'm not too worried about analyzing for long whether I really do need to or not. It was good enough for Jesus. It's certainly good enough for me. And then finally, the difficult question, is prayer always answered? Now, this is a question much bigger than can be answered adequately in a few sentences at the end of this very general sermon. Jesus uses those words, doesn't he? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. So does that mean that prayer is always answered? Well, briefly, no, it isn't. At least not in the way in which we always want. For example, a difficult example, we pray for loved ones to be healed. Now, sometimes they are, and sometimes they are because of our prayers. And sometimes, sadly, that's not the way it works out at that time. So for me, when Jesus says, as he said to his disciples, ask and it will be given to you, and so on, for everyone who asks receives, I don't think it can mean given to you exactly as you want or at the time you want. Prayers are often dramatically answered. Somebody once said, no, they're not, it's just coincidence. And there's a great reply to that. Well, when I pray, coincidence has happened more often. I love that answer. I can't remember who first came up with that. It's a lovely answer. But generally, when we feel that our prayers are not being answered exactly in the way we want or exactly at the time we want, I am prepared to say that we can be bold enough to believe that God will not leave us with nothing. Even if what we receive or the person we're praying for receives is comfort or strength or peace, or understanding, or hope to face whatever the challenge it is that we bring to him in our prayers. Or we may receive additional determination and strength not to do nothing about the challenge, but to do what we can to fight injustice or suffering or to do the right thing in whatever form or challenge we see it around us. So those are my thoughts on what is prayer. Next week, we can turn the Lord's Prayer back over and start looking at the detail. Amen.
Thank you, Simon. We're going to sing the lovely Trinity Sunday.